Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. In a world where action movies are constantly exploding at the box office, our heroes take on the monumental task of dissecting and analyzing all aspects of action movies to truly understand what it takes to make a great action film. Ben Bateman, Andrew Guy, in a Popcorn Talk Network exclusive, this is Action Movie Anatomy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to Action Movie Anatomy on the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network dedicated to talking movies and all things movie related. This is Demolition Man, and I'm Ben Bateman.
And I'm Andrew Guy, and I'm very excited to do this movie.
Whammy.
I haven't seen this movie. This is the second time I've seen this movie.
You just introduced yourself for the first time. I feel like we shared a moment. Are you growing up?
Should we do it over? I feel weird.
You feel weird.
Your training wheels are off.
You wore a red tie today.
I'm dressed in Canadian colors.
Really?
Red and white?
I felt like you were just trying to match the mic. I'm
trying to be the hitman.
Oh, yeah. He's black, white, and red.
I'm going to shave my head today.
Are you? Are you going to tan also?
I was going to say, you want to get all tanned up? I came back from Hawaii one summer, and I'd gained like 15 pounds when I was in Hawaii, and then I accidentally shaved my head one level too short, so I walked into work, and I just looked like a giant Asian Oompa Loompa.
It was very funny.
It was not funny.
Made a lot of fun of me.
I was sweating a lot.
Really, really enjoyed it. So, guys, this is Action Movie Anatomy, the show on the Popcorn Talk Network where we talk about action movies, the best action movies, in fact. And those action movies that are made traditionally after 1981 have four basic rules they have to adhere to. Rule number one, the hero always plays by their own rules. John Spartan plays by his own rules, 100%.
Absolutely.
Rule number two, the hero and the villain are always the smartest people in the room, or things, or beings, or aliens, or whatever. I would say Phoenix is... He's crazy, but he's brilliant.
No, he's incredibly smart.
He's incredibly
intelligent. Because of the training that happened when he was in cryostasis.
While Stallone was learning to knit.
Learning how to knit, yeah.
Number three, the movie is driven by a police, military, political, or mercenary figure. When we say political, we mean they could either be the man or work for the man, so in fact they could be an MTA operator in the
Taking Pelham 123.
He is a cop, 100%, so that is a thing. And then rule number four, there's at least one explosion. This movie is filled with them.
Absolutely.
Like, filled with 90s explosions and...
80s explosions of music.
Yeah, just absolutely incredible. So that is how we do the show. I think we should probably get into Action Movie Tagline before we show
we'll
the trailer.
We'll do that first? Yeah,
we'll show the trailer first.
No.
Maybe we'll show the trailer first because then we'll have our tagline because then the people can know about it.
Absolutely.
So if you guys are watching, this is the trailer, and then we're going to do Action Movie Tagline.
You're getting better and better at this every week.
Whammy. I really feel like I'm getting it.
Really?
At the end of a century,
at the end
ravaged
of a century.
By violence,
yeah,
a society of perfect order will arise.
Even the voice in the trailer is comedy. It's like, you know what I mean?
Everything is comedy.
Wrongfully convicted.
Criminals will be frozen.
His sentence is wrongfully convicted.
Cryogenic prisons. They almost don't even ever tell you that he's wrongfully convicted.
Until the very, very end.
You only get it for a second.
It's like, those people were frozen already!
You know the line from earlier in the movie? Did you read that?
Which one?
So it's from a scene that was earlier in the movie they cut. And they took the audio from that scene, and they put it over the scene later, because he's not on camera, just so you could, like, get it. By the way, yet another sloppy piece of editing.
I'm gonna love running this place.
Snipes! Just
so awesome.
Oscar worthy.
Absolutely.
This morning, Simon Phoenix escaped from this cryo facility. Mm. And we are, quite frankly, not equipped to deal with the situation.
They aren't all equipped.
It's a world of peace and calm.
We're police officers. We're not trained for this kind of violence.
How was the fiendish Simon Phoenix apprehended back in the 20th?
In the end, it took just one man. John Spartan.
You mean the Demolition Man?
The Demolition Man.
The Demolition Man. To be parole, our full reinstatement into the SAPD.
In a time, in a bad time, he was the worst.
Simon Phoenix.
Two mortal enemies.
Just dropped in to say hi.
Such a John McClane line.
Be unleashed on a
paper plasti, you son of a... Hey, fellas, gotta eat your greens.
Wesley Snipes.
They get news for you, pal. That's what people pay to see.
Demolition Man.
Can we just do that movie again?
Definitely not. All right. It's a very good trailer. captivating.
I mean, relative to some of the 93 trailers.
It's actually not as bad as a lot
of them. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you guys right now, the movie Warrior, I don't know, we've talked about it once or twice. Go watch the trailer for Warrior. That thing gets me more jacked up than any trailer I can think of.
Any drug you can take.
Has nothing to do with what we just watched.
No,
but it's a
all.
Great trailer, and that's a mediocre trailer. What's the best, like, 92, 93, 94 trailer you can think of? Have we done any on
Patriot.
The show?
Patriot.
That's 99. That's 2000.
Shit.
Yeah, that's pretty, I mean, that's like...
I have to pay a credit now.
Yeah, you have to pay a credit.
We're going to have to pay a lot today on the show, most
That was
likely.
Clever, Drew.
It was good.
It was a callback.
I've seen the movie.
It was a callback to the film.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about our action movie tagline. Guess this is a new thing we're doing on the show. And if you want to join into the conversation, anything at all, we started an Action Movie Anatomy Twitter. It's new. It's an AMA podcast. That's the thing we're doing. You can find me on Twitter at Ben Bateman Media.
You can find me on Twitter at Andrew Guy.
And if you love what you're watching, if you are just adoring it, or you think it's kind of shitty, but still give us 4 stars at least, please, go to iTunes and give us a rating and review, and it helps us do the show, because we love to do the show, and we can't really do the show unless you guys are letting us know it's awesome, because they'll turn the lights off otherwise. Just kidding, they won't really. But you should do it anyway, because it's sweet. And this is Action Movie Tagline. So this is like that thing when you're in the video store that doesn't exist anymore, but it used to exist. You'd see a VHS box, and it'd be like, slam, bang, action, thriller, or a non-stop adrenaline thrill ride or something.
Did you say non-strap?
I've done it several times that way. It's a mistake.
It's a mistake. I'd appreciate if you didn't call it out.
I'm dyslexic. Look, Andrew, I'm not doing so well. It's the thing where we come up with our own action movie tagline for that movie. So we both have written one that this is like the thing we would write on the back of the box. It's usually a little longer than the ones we shared, but...
Yours are always long.
Are they?
Mine's kind of longer today.
Good.
Would you like to go first?
I would love to go first.
You have to do it in the 80s voice.
Should I do it
voice.
In this? Should I do it in the 90s voice? Or should
you
I do it...
in the utopian society voice.
It's true. That's the one from the trailer.
But it's
I'm
so
not
bad.
Going to.
Yeah. It's not good.
Okay. Right. I always can't read my own handwriting, and I screw mine up. They never sound as good as they should.
At least you wrote it down this time.
Yep. It's good. It's not in my head. Didn't write anything else down. Surprise, Drew! Okay, guys. This is going to be on the one. I'm looking at camera. Here we go. A perfect future demolished by the grizzled masculinity of Blade and Rambo in their primes. Prepare to laugh. Prepare to cheer. Prepare to be demolished. John Spartan. Simon Phoenix. Demolition Man.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good, right?
Blade didn't exist.
Yeah, well.
I'd just like to just throw that out there.
The tagline exists now.
We're in the future.
We're in the future. My tagline was cryogenically frozen in stasis. It was taken out just for the show just now.
Okay.
What you got, Andrew?
All right. All right.
What you got, Andrew? What you got, Andrew? You guys give me your best.
All right, here we go. All right. Gotta get prepped. It's a good one. Prepare to have your adrenal glands demolished in this slam-bang action thriller.
Oh,
I had to use
you
it.
Used it.
You won't know when or where you're going. Who owns this century? Spartan or Phoenix?
That's good.
I know.
Shit! I feel like you beat me every time on those
Look,
ones.
Man, it was your idea to do this.
I really liked mine this time.
It was good.
I thought it was good.
It was like a nice try.
Prepare to be demolished.
I had to do it. Yeah. Every week I need to get a play off the title of the movie.
Nah, and you stole Slam Bang Action Thriller, which you know is my favorite.
I did.
It's my
I was
single
like, I have
favorite.
To use it.
Yeah, okay, guys. Well, that was Action Movie Tagline. Let us know if you have an Action Movie Tagline, if you like the Action Movie Tagline segment that we're doing now. We seem to enjoy it.
It's
so,
fun.
So, yeah, it's fun. It's a good time.
It's a good time we have.
This next thing is thesis statement. We've been doing this since the beginning of the show. So this is the thing where we come up with a bold idea about the film. Something that really sells our point of view. Like when we're watching it, the thing we feel the most. And yeah, something funny?
Yeah, they told me. Jonathan just said I'm dressed up as a candy cane. Look, man, it's Christmas time, okay?
I'm feeling festive. So this is the thing, it's our strong statement on the film, something you can kind of defend the whole time. You know, this is the greatest this, or this is the worst of this, or the first time this has ever happened. It shouldn't be loose. It shouldn't be like, this is my favorite character ever, or something like that. And yeah, we kind of stick with it and talk about it the whole film. So I'm going to go first on this one.
Okay.
And it's, this is the best comedy Sylvester Stallone ever made. And I know that sounds crazy, because this wasn't advertised as such, and it's not remembered as a comedy. But watching it, it's hilarious, and it's intentionally hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely. They're trying to... They do exactly what they're intending to do.
In some ways, I almost... Like, when we get to the end of the show and we talk about categories, well, my category shifted as I thought about this.
Really?
Yeah, it shifted a little bit.
Oh, I can't wait.
And so it's just because I think that this movie is incredibly clever. I think that the comedy is incredibly clever. The worst parts of this movie are the action. Like, yeah. Which is the case with a lot of the movies we do, it seems.
Yeah, sometimes it's like everything that in between the action is the best part.
Yeah, like the action really lags in this movie. It doesn't pop. It doesn't really have any life. It's just very, like, by the numbers. We read an article about this I sent to you, and the guy says it's one of those strange films where it feels like there's bullets flying everywhere, but there's no real sense of danger. And that's the case with a lot of these movies, but it's one of those where, like, the action scenes, I'm just like, okay, when is this over so Stallone can be, like, fish out of water again?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things when you're watching these movies and the stakes aren't high enough to where you don't...
Yeah.
You can never really fully invest in something where you feel like there's nothing at stake. Nothing is bad is going to happen to Rambo at the end of this movie. Everyone knows that. John Spartan is going to live.
Yeah, 100%. Well, and so the other thing about that is, like, for those of you that don't know, and we will talk about it in a minute, because actually this movie happens right in the phase of his career when he's doing comedies. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in a second. But Stallone tried to make a bunch of comedies.
Yeah.
He and Schwarzenegger, right around the same era, both kind of attempted to rebrand and make several comedies.
Yeah, like Rhinestone, you got Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, Oscar.
Oscar, yeah.
Yeah.
And this is not intended to be a comedy. It came out the same year as Cliffhanger, but it's definitely his funniest movie. This movie had me laughing out loud.
Oh, the whole time.
My favorite line, which we'll share later, is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
It's a very good line.
So the comedy in the movie, I think, is the best part of it, and hence, this is his greatest comedy.
Yeah, I like that. That's very good. Mine's kind of on the same line, but with the other actor. This is Wesley Snipes' best performance.
Really?
Period. Absolutely. I like Blade. I love The Art of War.
You're not going favorite.
No.
Best.
Greatest.
Wow. Better than King of New York, better than New Jack City.
Everything that he's
better
ever
than
done.
Drop Zone,
Look,
The Rising
his
Sun.
His commitment to this character is the best.
He's committed.
He's like the Joker in the first Batman mixed with someone else. I don't even know who it is.
Mixed with any of the other characters that he has
played?
Yeah,
every other movie he's been in since he's the same character.
Is it better than his role in Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar?
Ooh, that's a close second.
It's a very close second.
Swayze and Leguizamo, man.
Incredible film.
Yeah.
Never going to do it on the show.
Absolutely not.
Doesn't apply at all.
Yes. Greatest performance by Mr. Snipes.
Here's a question for the audience. All right. Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Impromptu. 5 movies. We'll do 3 each. You would just absolutely love to do, but you wouldn't be able to do on the show. We'll do 5 total because we're both going to choose Boogie Nights first.
I will choose Boogie Nights first.
You get to choose 2. I get to choose 2. And we're going to name 5. And if you guys are watching... Think about what's another show, a show that doesn't exist yet, a show that potentially could exist, that would feature those movies.
Yeah.
What would it be? What would that show be?
That's good.
Boogie Nights is one.
So we're each doing Boogie Nights for once. Why don't we throw that out and do 3 different ones?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Favorites.
I'm going to go Dark Knight Rises.
The third one?
The third one.
Oh, you really want to do Dark Knight Rises?
I just want to talk in Bane's voice
Some people would make the argument that we could do it on this show.
I think we could do Dark Knight on this show, and that's another conversation to have, but I don't think you could do Rises on it.
We just have our whole thing about superhero movies.
Yeah.
As soon as you step your foot into the realm of superhero movies, it opens up
a door.
Well, it's pre-contextualized characters that already have a backstory that you're expected to know when they walk in the door, which is really hard because it makes it difficult to watch the film and feel like you're learning about the character as you go, and I think it takes away from some of the payoff we get in a movie like Demolition Man or The Rock or Point Break or these movies we love so much. I'm going to go with... Well, I'll go with Tu Wong Fu because I love that movie.
Really? Out of all the movies in the world...
I wouldn't have actually chosen it except that it spurned the idea for the conversation.
I know.
So, okay, I won't do that one.
Probably not.
No, it's not Tu Wong Fu. That'd be a bad movie to do. I'm going to say The Weatherman with Nick Cage.
Ah, it's a good
love
one.
The Weatherman with Nick Cage. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
Hilarious movie.
I would probably have to say... Requiem for a Dream.
So dark.
It's so good.
You're so fucked up.
I am. I really am. I love dark, depressing movies so much. That scene with Jared Leto and Ellen Bernstein in her apartment makes me cry every single time.
Andrew basically just turns the lights off in his room and puts the movie on TV and just
I'm
sits
busy
there in
today.
Silence, puts his phone on silent, locks his door, and watches that movie like 3 times a week.
Doesn't happen.
He'd be like a portal into his life, guys.
All right.
Requiem, okay. I'll go Magnolia because I love just Magnolia. As much as Boogie Nights. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even more than Boogie Nights, and is Cruise in it? One of Cruise's best roles.
There's so many movies that we're just completely not going to.
Well, this
throw
is
in.
Just
it's
a couple.
Quick, yeah, I think the other one for me, since it is in our genre, and I'm trying to somewhat stick with that, although Requiem for a Dream is not even close. Saving Private Ryan.
Because
I already have tried. Like, I think I could make a strong enough argument to maybe do it on the show one day, but we probably won't. It has such a different feel to it than any other movie we do on this show.
Yeah,
even Gladiator.
Right,
like, it's worlds apart.
Fully.
I love that movie so much, and I think it's so well acted and shot, and just It's such a great action movie.
Yeah.
But it is also just such a heavy drama.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Extremely. All right, let's see. I'm going to go with one of the films from someone who I just adore. Let's go. Oh,
Sunshine?
I do love
Sunshine.
God, I love Sunshine. Yeah, it's a good point.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll hop on that one, too. Because I love Sunshine so much.
That movie blows my mind.
Yeah, 28 Days Later was one that I might have said as well.
All right, so anyway, guys, if you heard movies in there that you're like, those are all awesome, we love those movies, and we think that's really interesting, tweet at us at AMA Podcast or one of us personally, and just let us know what you think. What would that show be about? What would the format be? What would you want to see? What would we talk about? You know, that's something
absolutely.
We're interested to know. Obviously, you know, we love talking about movies, and we're very busy prepping this show for you every week, but twist our arm. So let's keep going, and we've already done Thesis.
Yeah, we got to go to Fist Pump.
This will be quick because I think we have the same.
Oh, it's the same. And I wish we had the song.
No, we do. We're going to play it.
Oh, we do?
We have the clip.
Oh, now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Let's cue it.
Yeah, let's cue the clip. Oh, my God.
It's a small video.
I lost it.
Yeah.
I lost it when this started happening.
Yeah, it's really good.
Like, when the music comes on, you don't know if it's actually music or just sounds in the movie for a minute.
It's, like, futuristic. It literally just sounds like they took, like, some song, like an early 90s rap song, you know, like something by, like, Criss Cross or, like, something like a bad song. And then they just, like, threw in some futuristic sounding, like pans hitting a table through, like, a phaser.
With your hands behind your back.
Hmm.
What's this? Six of you. Such nice, tidy uniforms.
He's incredible.
So good.
He's really good.
He's so committed.
Yeah.
You guys don't have sarcasm anymore.
Let me just go back to hacking real quick.
And it's even sweeter, too, that he's like proficient in karate.
Oh, it's so good.
It's like, because we were talking about this, the whole 90s thing of guys punching each other in the face.
He was in the Jackie Chan family and like the
Jackie Chan, Steven Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah,
they were like they could do martial arts. Mm-hmm. They were like kung fu experts essentially.
He had to slow down his fighting
because it's blurred, right?
Yeah, the cameras couldn't catch it.
They had to have him kick slower,
which is why it looks awkward as hell sometimes.
I love when he hits the guy and he goes "Olé!" That's so bad.
Lucky number 7.
Just like standing looking at the eye, like, I'm gonna kill you with this thing. Murder, death, kill.
We're police officers. We're trained to handle this kind of violence.
Oh, this movie's
Schneider's so good.
Good. And the music, this is... Because the music's my fist bump moment.
Oh, absolutely.
The scene
it's
is
not even the, yeah.
Kind of my fist bump moment, but it's really the music that's my fist bump
moment. The glass
moment.
On that car is made out of the same thing they used for Breaking Bad's meth.
Yeah,
it just
right.
like cracks immediately. This is sweet.
Classic, like, guy that should be like someone who comes out of a wall to fight you in Mortal Kombat, the movie, basically.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like it, too. Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, could we ever do Mortal Kombat on the show?
Why not? Liu Kang, Shang Tsung, they definitely play by their own rules.
We could. It has the villain qualifier.
Yeah.
Raiden qualifies Shang Tsung.
There's got to be an explosion. There's explosions.
He's a fighter, though. It's a fighting tournament movie.
We could do that.
Do you remember when we watched Mortal Kombat one night?
We have to be intoxicated. Yeah,
we were like quite intoxicated.
Gone. And it was very good.
I couldn't rent it, but I was willing to buy it for $19.99 on Amazon, streaming.
We were very good at spending our money when we drink.
I still own it. The digital copy.
We want to do it on the show. Hard copy.
We have to be careful.
We can cut that clip.
We have to be careful on the step on Bakuga because we just like do a lot of the movies that they should do on.
They did Rocky IV last week.
Yeah, but I mean, we choose terrible movies occasionally that like are totally their wheelhouse. Like Mortal Kombat's their wheelhouse, 100%.
I don't know, man.
Like
it's a good movie.
Then again, we love those guys and we love Mortal Kombat.
There you go.
So
bring it in.
Steven. Yeah. Steven, are you on the radio? Can you talk?
I don't know. I'm on like 6 or 7, I think.
All right. We'll get that working.
Steven just suggested we do The Fifth Element, which we've talked about before.
It's so good.
It's awesome. Yeah. I guess it kind of does qualify. It's like...
I mean, there's as much action in it as like some of the other movies we've
done. It's very like weird, futuristic, takes itself really seriously, but in like not that serious
but, like,
of a
way. Yeah, I mean, Chris Tucker, are you kidding me?
Did you see the SNL thing, the Star Wars auditions?
Yes.
Yeah, I showed you, right? Very good. It's the Tucker moment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Let's not talk about inside jokes.
Okay, excellent. So that's the fist pump moment. For those of you that are wondering what a fist pump moment is, because we just jumped into that, it's that moment when you're watching the movie and something happens, and you kind of look around on the couch, and you're like, is anyone else seeing how awesome this is right now? You're like, yes! And then I take my phone out, and I'm like, Andrew, I'm watching Demolition Man right now.
I guess, Ben, I'm sitting right next to you. I know. I love this moment as well, Andrew.
There's this moment. The music's
Yeah, no, it's still playing. It's still playing in the background.
So we're watching the movie right now. You should just hang the phone up, man.
It's weird.
What are we going to get for lunch? What? All right, so let's move on to
Star Profiles.
We kind of just started to detail it a little bit. Stallone, this was the period in his career. So most people don't know this. If you think about Stallone, if you're a fan, you kind of imagine that 80s and 90s was Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
But really, Stallone's heyday was the early 80s. Like, he was kind of done in a lot of ways already by the time, like, 1990 rolled around.
Yeah, I mean, he'd become such a big superstar off of Rocky and Rambo that he was trying to do other things to keep his name alive. And those things just kind of killed his name.
Well, you know what I didn't know is that First Blood, I always remembered First Blood as being, like, a very, like, sort of indie movie before Stallone was huge.
Mm-hmm.
But First Blood came out...
It was after Rocky.
After Rocky 3.
Yeah.
He did 3 Rockies already.
Yeah, yeah,
so First Blood came out in 82. So, like, by the time Rambo 3 and Rocky 4 had already come out,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is 93, this movie. So the previous movies of this were not hits. You know, Rocky 5 was 1990. He did Oscar in 91, which is, like, a basically, like, a terrible, like, I think it's, like, a mafia comedy kind
of. It's not good.
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, where he's a cop, and the cover of the movie is, like, his mom with a revolver.
And he's like,
yeah.
It's good.
It's like his mother, like, meddles with his life.
Yeah.
It's not good. And then Cliffhanger is the same year.
Cliffhanger did okay, though.
Yeah, Cliffhanger's sweet. Yeah. Cliffhanger made, like, quite a bit of money. Actually made more money than this, I think.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's right.
We'll have the graphic pulled later on it. But anyway, it's sort of funny if you think about Stallone versus Schwarzenegger. It's like, we always say, Stallone really had 2 franchises and mm-hmm. just a giant, like, pile of turds with a couple that, like, didn't stink quite as bad.
Yeah.
And, like, Schwarzenegger has, like, a couple franchises and then just tons and tons of hits throughout his career.
Tons of great movies for him.
So Schwarzenegger really won. But on the other hand, like, other than Terminator, Rocky and Rambo are better characters.
It's one of those debates that will go down in history for action movies, because it's like, I feel like Stallone and Schwarzenegger always in the same discussion.
Yeah.
And then you got Gibson and Willis on the other one.
Yeah, right.
And you'll never be able to say who's better.
Well, I think Willis is way better.
Between Gibson and him?
Yeah. I just like McClane so much more than Riggs.
Yeah, Braveheart, so.
Yeah, and the Patriot.
And the Patriot.
Maybe you're right.
I know.
It's tough.
Usually. So what Wesley Snipes, like, we had this moment when we were, like, going through and looking at all the movies that Snipes had done in his career, and I think 87% of the boxes are the exact same color same picture with different filters.
Well, what happened?
It's just, like, looking off.
Yeah. This is the best part. So Snipes has, like, this incredible run in his career. Like, his run from, I want to say, like, 86 mm-hmm. to, like, 2002.
He does, like, 500 movies a year.
Yeah, great. And there's, like, you have all the Blades in there. Mm-hmm. You have, like, the movies right before this, which is, like, well, Sugar Hill's not great, but Boiling Point's pretty sweet. Rising Sun's super sweet. New Jack City is really sweet.
I love The Art of War. It is one of my favorites.
It's really good. Drop Zone with Busey is mm-hmm. sweet. Also, I think King of New York, I'm pretty sure he's in. That's really good. Like, he's got, like, a bunch of great stuff. Even like, Tu Wong Fu is, like, pretty hilarious. Like,
yeah, no, it's not a bad movie.
Yeah, like, the whole 90s.
We're not doing it on the show. Stop bringing it up.
Can we do Tu Wong Fu on the show? It's full of action. Never mind.
Yeah, nope.
Don't go there. But then this weird thing happens, and we don't look at the whole, like Snipes and, like, the whole tax stuff. We don't really care. That's not what we do on the show. But there's something that happens where all of a sudden he stops getting, like, premier roles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a stretch in his career from, like, 03 on where if you queue up the boxes, like the images for the boxes on IMDb, you'll notice that they all look like they're made by the same company and the same director and the same graphic designer.
And they're all straight to video.
There's, like, so many, and they're all, like intensely colorful thing with, like, a
righteous
one word.
Kill.
And it's, like, him, like, looking off, or, like, him holding a gun, or it's, like, he's a cop, he's a lawyer, he's an army guy.
But he's always got the same look on his face.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, U.S. Marshals? Sweet.
It's a very
righteous. Yeah, how's it feel?
Yeah.
Righteous. So, anyway, Snipes, this was sort of, like, his heyday in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can even tell by his performance in it.
Yeah.
The dude, his confidence is through the roof. he can do no wrong in the eyes of the public. I think that's why I love it so much. When I'm watching it, I'm like, this guy is a flamboyant serial killer.
Yeah.
You know, and like, Wesley Snipes is a badass. Like, he's a hard ass. That's what all you see him in. Like, Blade, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, even The Art of War.
The Art of War.
I'm just going to keep talking about it until we do it on the show.
I'm
you
okay.
Keep talking about Too Wong Fu, and I'll keep talking about Art of War.
What, The Passenger 57? That's another good one, right?
Yeah, it's okay.
Like, early 90s.
Yeah.
There's one other I can't think of. But yeah, absolutely great. The 90s for Snipes were great. Did I already tell the story on the show? I know I told you that story about talking to him a couple weeks ago.
No, you should. I mean, you might have, but you should just tell it again anyway.
It's a funny story. So White Men Can't Jump, right?
Oh, God.
Money Train, that's him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
White Men Can't Jump is actually probably his best performance.
Yeah. He's so sweet in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, Money Train. Anyway, so... Chirac, which is Spike Lee's new movie, that comes out this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I did the press junket for it, and Snipes was one. He's in the movie. He's actually very funny. He has a great performance. And I asked him. My last question was, okay, look, if the studios looked at you and they said, hey, Wesley, we want you to take Blade, you get to produce it, direct it, recast it with the lead role. Right. Like, you get to have total control over the reboot of the franchise. It's going to be Blade Resurrection or something like that. Who would you cast? Who's the guy? And he looks at me. He's like, you know, I take that young guy, that guy Wesley Snipes. I think he's pretty good.
Right?
He's in pretty good shape, and he's still working pretty hard. I think I'd take him. I was like, very good, sir. Very good. We'll move on.
The thing is, if they actually relaunched the Blade franchise, he would try his damnedest to get back in.
100%.
He thinks he could pull it off.
He's like in pretty 50. Good shape, man. He looked pretty good, I gotta say.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I was impressed.
He was in great shape, though, when they did Blade. It was obscene.
Yeah, he was jacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Martial arts guy.
So there's a lot of production development that goes into this movie. We'll probably, I mean, again, we always do a lot of research on it, but we'll probably only talk about it for like 10 minutes or
so. Yeah, we'll touch on some of the interesting points. There's some pretty interesting stuff with this one.
The script was very interesting.
Yeah, so the script, there's all this controversy with an Eastern European writer who apparently came up with the idea originally.
Mm-hmm.
Then he feels that it was lifted by a Hollywood producer, but he didn't want to go into litigation because he didn't want to have to go up against Hollywood lawyers.
And
he just
also said that this specific producer has stolen numerous ideas
right?
From the Eastern, yeah.
Yeah, so until Joel Silver essentially got on board and just sort of like paid off the writers, there's like five writers, three of whom are accredited, but the script changed a whole lot, so...
And they got it perfectly at the end.
Well, they really did. So, you know, the script went through numerous rewrites, and so let's see here. One of the notes I wrote was that... Peter Lenkov's second draft, dated 1989, bears little resemblance to the shooting script. The strange names and tongue-in-cheek humor are nowhere to be seen 3 years later. So Lenkov wrote, like, essentially just a straight action movie because originally it was Seagal and Van Damme that were supposed to be in the roles here.
But neither of them wanted to be the bad guy.
Right. They both wanted to only be the good guy. And so then Stallone was like, I want Jackie Chan to play the bad guy.
And he didn't want to do it either.
Because he's like, you know, the Asian audience that knows me as a martial arts guy is a good guy.
They do not like to see you
as a sociopath.
Off. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not going to do the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how Snipes gets involved. I thought just like all the script doctoring, like the draft after draft after draft, was pretty weird. Now, I pulled this article later that talks about the production on like just the development and the budgeting.
Yeah.
This is really interesting. It was published in October 12, 1993, and essentially suggests that this movie cost as much as $97 million to make between the promotion, marketing, and development. And it's listed with a budget of quite a bit less than that.
Yeah, it's like 56 or something.
Something
like that.
Yeah, and so I thought that was pretty fascinating when you look at all the writers, and it went way over production time. So I think the script was pretty loose.
Well, it's weird too that like this movie, as we get into box office, we'll talk about it, to put that much, to invest that much money in 93 for a movie that isn't even going to go worldwide.
Yeah, well, it opened worldwide later. I was trying to find the numbers on it. It was really hard to find.
But
we can talk about it later.
Okay.
We should stick with the production now. But yeah, so all the writers, you know, these guys are all like pretty interesting. Daniel Waters is the guy in the end that Joel Silver brought on. So Silver, we keep mentioning him. We've talked about him here before. He's one of the legendary producers.
He's one of the greatest action movie producers of all time.
Yeah, I mean, his, you know, obviously Top Gun, the Die Hard franchise, Lethal Weapon, right? Like The Matrix. Like he's next to Jerry Bruckheimer, he's the other gigantic 80s, 90s action guy.
Yeah.
You know, like Stallone and Schwarzenegger owe a huge amount of their success to Joel Silver. So Silver's hands were on this movie, and he ended up bringing in Daniel Waters to do the
final.
He's
a badass, Silver. Like, once he came in, he just, like, got everything in line away.
He just knew what
to
do.
Pay him, fire them all, credit him, and we'll move on.
Big budget. Yeah, exactly. So this is hilarious, though. Daniel Waters, originally, he rose to prominence writing Heathers. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Heather's like a cult classic.
Good movie, yeah.
Yeah, Christian Slater and Winona Ryder, is that right?
I believe so. That
yeah.
sounds right.
And it's the one where it's like, my sister used to really like that movie a lot. I think it's the one where it's like cliquey in high school and there's like a murder. It's like they're trying to like murder the cool kids or something like that.
I couldn't tell you, man.
Okay, yeah. My sister used to watch it a lot. I think I'm pretty sure that's the one. I know people talk about it like it's a cult classic. So he gets that. He ends up writing Batman Returns. But then in back-to-back years, he writes Hudson Hawk and he writes The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
Yes, and he's awarded for these two great accomplishments.
The worst screenplay Razzie Award.
2 years in a row.
Yeah. And Silver was like, this is before this movie.
Right.
Silver's like, yeah, he won the Razzie 2 years in a row. It doesn't matter.
Bring him on.
Fix Demolition Man. Come on, just write some jokes. This will be great. And he wrote a great script.
He did. He wrote it. He like, was exactly what you want out of this movie.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, Hudson Hawk is so bad. The movie's unwatchably bad. I've never seen The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. I don't even know anything
about it. I feel like you're probably not missing a whole lot.
Yeah. So Peter Lenkov is much more of like a working TV writer.
Yeah, he's still doing stuff.
Yeah, he's still totally, totally relevant, totally current. 24, RIPD, you know, he's kind of a big shot. He still works.
Son-in-law.
Son-in-law? Is that the one with...
Pauly Shore.
Oh.
Yeah.
They just did it on Guilty Movie Pleasures.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
It's a great, guys, check out the episode. It'll be a hoot.
Yeah, Macuga and Begley. That's a great show. So anyhow, we don't really need to harp on this too much.
Yeah,
but
the writers, I mean, what you really need to get out of the writers in this movie is that they're not really doing anything anymore other than like Lenkov doing some TV stuff. Like, because Rest in Peace Department was kind of his last little chance to do something.
It's bad.
And it's very bad.
Very bad.
Very, very bad.
Yes.
None of the, like, all these writers kind of just fell off the face of the earth. Like Robert Renault, the other guy, I couldn't even find, I mean, I didn't search as hard as you did, but I couldn't find much about him. You ended up finding, like, a paragraph on the guy.
Yeah,
but he's
right.
written, like, two movies and two TV episodes, and that's it.
Wow. Holy crap. Where did this paragraph come from? I didn't do this.
You didn't do that?
You wrote that?
Maybe we have, like, elves. Like, outline elves.
And I did my own research, but I did. Wow, Holtak? Fight of the Dead? Interesting.
We've been hacked.
We've been hacked.
So, Marco Brambilla. Marco Brambilla.
All right, so this is pretty funny. This is yeah. probably the most interesting part about the production. So this guy is not an action movie director. Not only was this his first movie, but like this is what was pulled. If you go to his Wikipedia, Marco Brambilla is a Milan. Right, why am I
Marco
in that voice?
Brambilla
is a Milan-born New York City-based video collage and installation artist known for his elaborate recontextualizations of popular and found imagery. So this guy is a big, like, directs music videos, he does artistic installations, and he does video projects.
He's a big art guy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Demolition Man, as we keep mentioning, is, like, not perceived as the movie that it actually was. He probably saw this opportunity with all the bright colors in the future to do something really interesting.
Right.
And at the time, I think it was pretty interesting. It looks sort of dated and hilarious now. I mean, just look at that picture of Snipes.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a weird combination of, like, the Road Warrior.
I still feel like even in the 90s, it was still a little obscene.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the really bad comic book-esque Road Warrior version of The Fifth Element. Like,
yeah.
He looks like a character. He almost is like Chris Tucker.
It's Chris Tucker on roids.
Yeah. It's roided Chris Tucker who's, like, borrowed Mad Max's jacket. And instead of screaming, he just does karate.
Ah!
Yeah. So, anyway, this guy, he ended up following up that first film with Excess Baggage. Remember Excess Baggage, 97?
Alicia Silverstone, one of my absolute favorites.
Yeah, it's got, like, Benicio Del Toro. It's got, like, a big cast of, like, pretty sweet people at the time.
Atrocious.
Like, I think the score on Tomatoes is, like, 13 or something.
Yeah,
or 23.
It's really, really
it's, like,
bad.
Horrible.
Like, this movie has, like, five times the points.
Completely. So that movie's a flop. It flops financially. It flops critically. He doesn't do another movie until 2006.
Right, and he did a... What did
Districted.
He right.
So it's a compilation. This is the thing I found
right.
so fascinating.
Right, yeah.
Right, so Districted is a compilation of video shorts that explore the intersection between art and pornography. Released in Europe in 2006 with a certain lineup of shorts, and then mm-hmm. released in the States in 2010 with a slightly different lineup. One of the directors included in this is Gaspar Noé, whose film, Love, is essentially a rated X.
Right.
It's not even rated, I think. I think because he doesn't have the rating system.
Yeah,
I interviewed him here just a few weeks ago after I saw his movie Love, which just premiered. There's some controversy because Kanye West stole some video titles in one of his new movies from Gaspar's earlier film, Into the Void. So he's been in the news for this. But, you know, it's one of these where you're watching it and, like, he's saying – the shock value of sex on screen has been overdone in the U.S. and we need to just get used to it. So, like, I want to just be able to show whatever I want to show and make it dramatic. So, right. Love is a movie that opens on literally hardcore sex for 10 minutes without a cut and continues to go back to it throughout the film. It's, like, pretty shocking. It's, yeah. There's almost, like, 50 minutes of...
Well, the thing with the movies, and, like, I haven't seen this film that you're talking about, but yeah. From what you've told me, it's, like, it's not... You're not finding the border between art and porn.
Oh, it's just hardcore porn.
You're just porn. You're yeah. just trying to figure out a way to... It's, like... What I always think of, like, Lars von Trier, he's kind of figured out the way to do it.
Yeah.
Because his movies are very explicit and intense and sexual yeah. and gnarly, but they're also, like, good movies.
Yeah.
That are well acted. And, like, totally. there's things that are at stake, and there's a real storyline.
Yeah.
It's not just sex. And I feel like this guy,
yeah,
Brembia, I mean, and the guy you're talking about, just... No, there's none of that.
Yeah, like, no judgment on Gaspar. He was a very nice guy, and the movie was interesting. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have called it a bad movie. It's just that's, like, my eyebrow raises when I see a movie like that, because I get so deliberate. Anyway, the point is, Gaspar has one of the shorts that's featured in this guy's movie,
of course he
Districted,
does.
Which I was like, oh, of course.
Well, yeah, we were, like, sitting there, like, over lunch, trying to, like, doing some research. You're like, oh, this reminds me of that other guy. And you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, they work together, yeah. right?
of course.
Ridiculous. So, anyway, obviously, no disrespect to Gaspar. I enjoyed the movie. Like I said, it was just an eyebrow raise.
Right.
But I thought that was pretty interesting. The producers here, we mentioned Joel Silver. Howard G. Kazanjian, who was originally the vice president of Lucasfilm. He's one of these guys who got famous. So Michael Levy's the other one. He's just basically works with Silver. Mm-hmm. Like all yeah, his big yeah, credits are Silver credits.
But, K-Pax.
Yeah, and K-Pax. Failed financially as well. So Howard, this guy Kazanjian, he was the vice president of Lucasfilm. And as such... had a lot of fame early in his career by doing Raiders of the Lost Ark in 81 and Return of the Jedi in 83.
Right.
Now, the rest of his career was pretty much just a lot of flops. There's not really anything that's that relevant, but he knew Lucas in college. They were friends. They were in a frat together. Yeah. So he was appointed the vice president of Lucasfilm.
It's so crazy when you get a start like that. I mean, that's
Raiders
the beast of
and
Hollywood.
Jedi?
That is the
Come
beast of
on.
Hollywood. I yeah. mean, like... You can start with the most incredible movies, and your career can die within 5 years, eight
yeah.
years, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, like, I thought that was, like, so interesting. Just, I mean, it's so crazy. You just get to have those movies on your resume, and then forever.
Right.
I mean, this is 2015, and we're looking on IMDb, and his first two credits listed are Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Two of the greatest movies of...
Ever Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, two of the greatest action-adventure movies of all time.
I look at you, and I'm like, oh, this guy's a big shot. And
yeah.
I'm like, but the last, you know... Oh, I don't know.
15, 20 years?
25, 30
yeah.
years of his career.
Nothing.
Right? Yeah, nothing.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty
I mean, and we'll get into box office now to talk about that. This movie, from a producer's standpoint, it's suicide.
Yeah.
Like, this is not the movie you want to be involved in. It was a Warner Brothers movie. It came out in October of 1993.
Yeah.
And, $58 million. Or no, $57 million is what it cost. So, which is, it's okay. You know, but then you go in and you talk about those things that we talked about that it ended up costing like 113.
It was disputed, so that's why I pulled the thing and put it on here
mm-hmm.
because it's there was an addendum released like shortly thereafter where they deny the claim, but it was controversial at the time, and so we can't go on record saying. But,
right.
I mean, essentially, like with the delays in filming, there was five assistant directors
yep.
on the film, and four of them got like they fired four assistant directors. People on the crew had to leave filming because they had other projects starting and went way over.
Mm-hmm. Their $5 million worth of promotional like gear that they'd give out at these press
oh, yeah.
screenings.
The press kit?
Yeah, with, like a hard hat
and a
jacket and a CD. Yeah. I'd be stoked.
Oh, God.
I'd be amped if I got that.
We're essentially movie critics. Like,
yeah.
We do press. So, like, if I was covering a movie and I got a package in the mail and it had a leather bomber jacket,
right.
Fuck, I don't know, the Revenant hard hat.
Yeah.
And, like, the Revenant, like, you know, digital soundtrack. Like, I'd be like, this is the coolest thing ever. I got a leather jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Like, but that was how gaudy this stuff was in the
90s. Yeah, and it didn't work.
No.
At all.
No.
So we made $58 million.
So this is interesting. So you covered the box office stuff.
Right.
And we always use the same source, you and me,
mm-hmm.
the Box Office Mojo,
yeah,
sometimes Wikipedia.
And the numbers, yeah.
So it turns out that the worldwide gross on this movie was in the 150-somethings.
What?
Exactly. I couldn't find the release date internationally.
Okay.
It's not listed on Box Office Mojo. But when you find, like, several sites listed the worldwide gross as, like, 158 or 159 million.
Wow.
So it must have opened later In other countries.
Yeah, it had to have.
Because the domestic opening, it didn't have a worldwide opening at all.
Because that's what I was... That's the thing, is like, with movies like this, in this time, in this era when movies were being made, the name Sylvester Stallone, with Rocky and Rambo, already been out for years.
Yeah, and Snipes, too.
And Snipes, but yeah, I mean, we're talking... I mean, Stallone in 80... when did Rocky IV come out? 87?
85.
Yeah. Yeah, like that year, the biggest year in his entire career, you know that they'd seen those movies by then. By the time this movie came out 8 years later...
Of course.
You would want it to go worldwide. Big time. That's why I was shocked.
Well, the one... what was the thing that I read about the... It was in that article about the international title. It was in Kuwait, I think.
Yeah.
The title was... in Kuwait was Rambo the Destroyer.
Right? Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, Rambo the Destroyer. Because they were like, we figured the association with the name Rambo would help sell tickets. It's like, you can't call Demolition Man Rambo.
You can't do that. No. And then, did you also see how, like in Europe a lot, they didn't have Taco Bell because they didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
They like went over it in post-production with
Pizza Hut. Right?
Yeah.
So funny.
In our chat today, people were talking and they were like, did you guys watch the Taco Bell or the Pizza Hut version? Like Taco Bell, Pizza Hut. So that's pretty funny. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So anyway, it opened number one at 14 million.
Which was, it looks so good.
Yeah, people were stoked.
It's like, this is going to be huge.
Yeah, and it just petered off.
Completely died off.
Yeah, because the domestic, it made $1 million over the listed budget of $57. But like we said, if it in fact actually cost upwards of $90 million, even the worldwide gross, I mean, this movie is considered somewhat of a flop, but yeah, not as bad as others, because I think those worldwide numbers did bring it up a little bit. So we have the graphic here of the 1993 box office. Jurassic Park, obviously, you know.
You can't compete.
No. And I mean, this is a sweet year. Look at these movies.
I know. Jurassic, I was going to say, Park. Mrs. Doubtfire and the Few. Like, I love Mrs. Doubtfire. I love
it's another one we throw in that
same category. Yeah.
Have you watched the trailer recut of Doubtfire?
Oh, it's where terrifying.
Where he's a psycho?
Yeah, you guys have to go out.
I'm ready for my close-up.
Yeah. Go look up Mrs. Doubtfire trailer horror movie, and you will laugh your ass off.
Yeah, it's very, very funny.
Once the show's over.
Once the show.
Not yet.
Yeah, you have The Fugitive. I mean, you have Sleepless in Seattle. Very good.
Schindler's List.
Schindler's List is a decent one. You know, Cliffhanger. Frey Willy.
Frey. Groundhog Day. Yeah, I mean, this is cool. Runnings. God, what a great year to be alive. Tombstone. Sister Act 2. I don't know why I said it like
Back
that.
In
I
the
just
Habit.
Very excited.
Is that a character from the film?
No, that's just me talking about Sister Act.
I just felt like saying it that way. I hope you're okay with that. Anyway, so this movie was, what do we have this year? Number 18 for the year. So pretty unexciting.
But like the movies that are ahead of it, I don't even care that it's number 18.
Yeah, it's
There's
true.
So many good movies in this
the
list.
The Pelican Brief was sweet.
I just love the name of that movie.
The Pelican Brief?
Yeah, it's just good.
Yeah, it sounds exciting.
It does. Critically, this movie was about what you'd expect. Although, it's so crazy how 1.4 points is so massively different on IMDb.
1.4? Oh, yeah, in terms of the top 250.
Yeah, because this is a 6.6. And you essentially have to be an 8.1 to get in. So that means from 6.6 to 8.0 is like the same margin, essentially. And this movie is a 6.6. It's only a point and a half off from being in the top 250, like, by ratings-wise. And this movie's not good.
Wow.
I mean, it is. It's very enjoyable.
Speak for yourself.
I would give it, like, a 4.7 or something like that.
Yeah. Like, I don't... Simon Phoenix is going to rank for me. I just realized
that. Oh, he is. He's in my... He's ranked.
Yeah.
The thing is, the villains that we have ranked already are so good, he doesn't really compete very well.
Yeah, he'll end up going, like, low. But
like, number one.
Yeah. But he'll be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think Spartan really ranks.
And then...
Sorry, I jumped.
It's cool. And then we got 64% from all critics, 50% from top critics, and 66% from the audience, which is... That's about what you would expect.
6.6, 66. Yeah. Like, it's... You know, people like this. I like to think... I think we've talked about this before because we're such movie fans.
Mm-hmm.
So we've looked at these numbers for so many years for so many things, right? So I've begun to apply the harsh logic of these numbers on IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes to like everything in my life that I enjoy.
Oh, I know. You're always we have like these grade scales we talk about all the time with rating anything.
Yeah, so it's like the sandwich that I went to, or how good was the pizza, or like, you know, is it like how good of a ski spot is it to go to for the winter, or like what have you.
Do you remember the one we had the other day that was completely obscene?
Yes. It was very inappropriate.
It was very inappropriate.
It had to do with bathroom humor.
It had to do with bathroom humor, and we're not going to talk about it on the show, but that's literally everything from what we eat to everything that comes out of our body.
It had to do with the three seashells.
Did you see that Sandra Bullock... It's so crazy. The most eternal thing about this movie.
Are the three seashells?
It's the three seashells. Yeah. That's what everyone wants to know about. And what did Bullock say? She got interviewed like few years ago after she did like The Blind Side.
Oh,
and they asked
about what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing about like you would use the two seashells
to scoop
the waste out of your body, and then like the last one to like clean, which is like so disgusting and inhumane.
That's really what you came up with in the future.
And there was like nothing alluded to about how you would clean the shells or sanitize them for the next use.
Right. So she goes, well, think of a bidet, right? There's several processes. You have number one, you have number two, and you have the cleanup. And she goes, but it doesn't stop there. It turns out the seashells are also, she goes, you can use them as little maracas, well, even any sort of little musical instrument. It's hygienic and musical. That was her response. So no one knows to this day what the idea was. Do you know where it came from?
No.
The writer, the guy he got brought on?
Yeah, right.
He's like, I don't know what to do. He called his friend who was in the bathroom on the toilet, and he's like, well, I got a couple magazines, and I got a bag of seashells. It's like, seashells, I'll make it work. And he just hangs up on them.
Seashells, I'll make it work. Yeah, ridiculous.
Perfect.
All right, let's get into hero villain ranking. This is a good one.
Let's do it. I actually wrote mine down ahead of time because I had a little bit of extra time to prep. That way we're not just like looking at it.
Well, it's easier when it's two of us. It's a little easier, I feel.
Yeah.
All right, so we actually have the lists here on the back page that I printed out.
It's so hard for me to decide whether or not I could put... You know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to put Rambo... what was it? Rambo...
What?
The title that they were trying to call it.
Oh, Rambo the Destroyer?
I'm going to put Rambo the Destroyer, a.k.a. John Spartan, at number 50. I'm going to move everyone down one that's already... Like, so Joe's going to go 49, Mills 48, Max
will go Rambo
46.
The Destroyer, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about John Spartan. That was the name... That's what they were going to call him in this movie.
No, I know that, but you're saying... You were just talking about Morton Joe and Rambo. They're the heroes and villains. Set of lists.
Yeah. No, oh. I'm talking about the hero list here. I'm bumping everyone down
from
50 to 47, and he's going to go in at the new 50.
You're putting in... Okay.
John Spartan. John. Rambo. John Spartan. Day.
So you're moving these guys down. So you're putting him at 50, and everybody goes 46, 7, 8, 9, 50?
Exactly.
Okay. Sounds good. So I'll make a note here on this. So you're putting Spartan at 50. I'm not going to put John Spartan on my list. I don't like him as much as Jack Traven, I'll tell you that much.
I don't either.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much space to fill here. So I guess in some ways, I feel like maybe I should just put him on here.
Right? Just because... I mean, he's going to get bumped off, like, no matter what.
Eventually.
Eventually.
Eventually. Eventually.
Eventually.
I just don't think he's that good, man. I mean, he's entertaining, I guess.
Yeah, he's not. He's good enough.
You know what? I'll follow your lead on that one, because I like John Spartan. This movie's entertaining, and he's very funny.
And your favorite line is my favorite line of his.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that.
I'll agree with you. I don't like him as much as Jack Traven, but I like him more than not being on the list when I don't have 50 yet.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then
now
for me, with the villains.
Simon Phoenix.
Yeah. And again, he's
Simon,
awesome.
Simon says,
die! Like, that's, again, his commitment. There's no hesitation. He's 100% committed.
He must have loved the script. He must have loved the script.
He must have.
He hated the hair, though. He shaved
he
it immediately.
And on the other hand of that, Rodman loved the hair.
Yeah, Rodman started doing
it. I'm going to do this now. Yeah.
And then Rodman was in a movie with Rob Schneider a few years later called Knock Off.
Oh,
wasn't
so
he?
Good.
Or was that Van Damme?
It's Van Damme.
Double Team.
Double Team.
With Van Damme.
With Van
That's
Damme.
What I was thinking. Yeah.
Which is terrible.
And Schneider was Knock Off. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I did, we have such good...
Villains
on this list.
Yeah, we put more heroes on here, which is funny.
It's because it's tough to be a good villain, man. And if you're a good villain, as you can see our list, like these guys are, those movies are all phenomenal.
Which is funny.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put him at 49. And I'm going to bump Cyrus to 48.
Phoenix is only at 49 for you?
Yeah, dude, look at everyone else ahead of him. Morton Joe, Queen Alien, T-1000, like Kurushnov, Predator, Drago. He's not even in the same wheelhouse as these guys.
Fair. Okay. So you're putting Phoenix at 49. Oh, no. You're moving Cyrus down to 48. We're putting him ahead of
him. Do I have to repeat myself?
Yeah. I was just writing on the wrong part.
Oh, I apologize. I'm going to move Cyrus down to 48.
Okay.
And I'm going to put him in at 49.
Don't feel a dick about it.
I'm sorry. I didn't get much sleep last night.
All right. I'm going higher on Phoenix.
I'm
going
to go higher.
Not bad.
Not bad.
He's very memorable to me. He's better than Howard Payne. He's a better villain than Morton Joe. Morton Joe's so whatever.
Don't.
What?
Not here. Not now.
Morton Joe's pretty evil.
He's evil, and he's so gnarly looking in his death.
He's very
Remember
memorable.
Remember me? Oh, God. God, I love that. You have to... Ben's only seen Mad Max in the theaters, and he, like, refuses to watch it again, and he, like, refuses to change his ranking or voting on any of it. He's
so
like,
interesting.
Yeah, it was fine. I saw it once.
Oh, so interesting. The Taking Pelham 1-2-3 is number 31 on your list.
Hey, look, I watched it with you a lot, and we've done it on the show, okay?
You like it so much more than this,
though.
Paid
my time. Paid my dues.
You only put it at 31 to mess with me. I know you like it more than that. I've seen it in your face. I've seen it in your eyes.
Moving on.
Okay. Morton Joe's good, but I like Phoenix so much. He's just a more memorable villain to me.
So good.
I'm going higher. I'm doing it.
It's just because of the music.
Yeah, it is, actually. he'll go. I have a space between 12 and 31, so I'm going to put him at 25.
Oh, my God. If you said 13, I was going to freak out.
No.
Okay.
But 25 is a solid number for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah. And then for me, for ranking the movie,
it's a hard one because it's such like a bad, awesome movie.
I actually have it at number 30 ahead of the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
You think Independence Day is a better movie than this?
29.
Okay. Independence Day has got the speech. This movie is hilarious.
I know. It's true. Independence Day has a speech,
but
and
the speech
it has such
is better
a nostalgic
than this
value.
Movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I had it at 30. No, Independence Day is better. Independence Day is going to stay at... Oh, no. I can move it down. So Independence Day will be 30, and then this will be 31. And then, you know, Taking Pelham will just keep going lower. As many episodes as we... We'll always know how many episodes we did, because the Taking of Pelham will be how many episodes we've done.
I'm going to murder you in your sleep. Just kidding, guys.
Just kidding, he's not.
Or am I? I need to redo my list, because Jurassic World needs to go lower.
Yeah, we need to redo our list pretty badly.
But I am gonna... Oh, man, this movie's so sweet, but it's not as good as any of these movies.
No, it's not.
Furious 7, Rambo, First Blood Part 2. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's... it's the... Fuck.
This is the hardest decision Ben's made in his whole life.
I mean, what I want to do is essentially put it ahead of Independence Day and Jurassic World. I want to put it at 30.
But the speech, you're... I mean, the speech,
but the speech
is
the Independence
greatest
Day
argument.
On its own is better.
Yeah.
So I think I have to just put this as the worst movie we've done on the show.
What do you guys think, audience? Where do you guys think... I mean, I guess if you're looking at our list, or I know that a couple of you have your own lists, and we love to see your full list, but I want to know just, because this can't be in most people's top 10 or 20, right?
Right.
I don't think so.
No, I mean, it's super entertaining, but it's a silly movie. Steven, what do you think? You have any thoughts on it? You think this is like a good enough movie to like put ahead in any
Well, I know he thinks Independence Day is better, for sure.
I think Independence Day is... Oh, is my mic on?
You're
okay,
on.
Cool.
He's here.
I think Independence Day is a better movie in terms of a movie.
Right.
But as an action movie, I think Demolition Man is better.
That's a good point.
It's our producer, Steven, guys,
yeah.
By the way.
Honestly, Demolition Man's one of the first movies I saw Wesley Snipes in.
Really?
And it has solidified him as one of my favorites because of this movie.
Yeah, he like again,
it's captivating.
He's incredible. He's incredible.
Simon Phoenix.
I think you're going to see a very similar attitude from the Joker in Suicide Squad as Wesley Snipes in Demolition Man.
Okay.
Over the top, evil. Probably not
standard,
quite as jokey.
Standard fare. Okay, well, that's our lists there.
Yeah,
I think we should
list.
Probably move on to recast. So
Let's
this is
it.
A thing we do where we take the roles in the film and we recast them with... depending if it's a new movie, we go old. If it's an old movie, we go new. So in this case, we're going to be recasting if this film were made today with modern actors. You're going to love mine.
You are so fucked.
That's very funny.
It's very good. Very good.
I was reminding Andrew how to play Magic the Gathering this last weekend. We played several games, and we were drinking. And every time Andrew would draw a card, the drunker we got, he would just say that same line.
Over and over and over.
Pretty,
I lost.
It was pretty funny.
Most all the games.
all
and
right.
Ben cheated once, but we won't talk about that.
I didn't cheat. Let's get into the recast.
2015.
Okay, let's start with Bob Gunton, Chief George Earl. We haven't even talked about him yet.
He's so good.
Caveman.
Primate.
He might be my favorite part of the... If it wasn't the thing we had said... Oh, we skipped favorite line.
Neanderthal.
Well, wait, we'll just
do
favorite
we'll
do line
it after. Yeah.
I think that if it wasn't that, it was just going to be all of his lines. So if I hadn't gone with the Simon Phoenix fight music, it was going to be every time Bob Gunton said anything.
Anything.
Yeah,
because every time he had a line, like, even if we were on our phones or whatever we were doing, we'd, like, both just have a moment and laugh.
Savage.
Savage. Yeah. All right, so who I went with, and very good.
Yeah, it's very funny. Every time we show up somewhere hungover, I'm just going to look at you and just say, savage.
Primate.
Primate. You're sweating profusely.
I'm doing okay today.
Doing well today.
I went with Scott Wilson.
Okay, for Bob Gunton?
Yeah, he's the guy that played Herschel in The Walking Dead.
Ah, that's good.
And it's good because he has that way of just kind of being condescending and a dick without being an overly a dick.
Right.
So I feel like if he was put in a role where he wanted it, like they really needed him to play it up,
yeah,
he would just kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went with Bob Gunton.
Yeah. He's great. I mean, why not? I love him in Patch Adams.
Yeah.
He's so good.
He's pretty old now.
We're doctors.
The last time I saw Bob Gunton in a movie, if I recall, was his role in I Heart Huckabees. And he plays Jason Schwartzman's dad.
He does look pretty old.
In that, he looks old. And that's like, five maybe or something.
I mean, Herschel looks pretty damn old, too.
Yeah, but I just think with the amount of makeup they put on him, I think he could just do it again.
Of course he could.
Yeah. So I think he's so perfect.
And clearly the police chief doesn't need to be in shape or anyone that can fight or do anything.
His age, like, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, it's like him and the wise black guy. What's his name? His buddy.
You're towing a line here.
Yeah, no, his buddy from when they were kids, the pilot who gets grounded.
What are you talking about?
Stallone comes out and he sees the one guy, and the guy's like,
"Oh yeah,
in a bad time, he was the worst." That guy.
That guy was awesome.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of those '90s movies.
Yeah, he always has like five lines and always like super epic.
He's sweet.
Yeah,
very good. Great.
So I'm really happy with my second choice for Dennis Leary because he's also a stand-up.
Yeah,
and he's this type of stand-up that just goes on rants. It's Bill Burr.
Oh, okay.
From Breaking Bad and from
him
doing tons of stand-up. It's the same guy.
I went with a far more annoying character because I found Leary to be very annoying in this movie.
John Leguizamo in The Pest?
I went Jay Baruchel.
Jay Baruchel.
Man-seeking woman.
Okay.
This is the end. I'm your friend. I'm Seth Rogen's friend. I just thought you'd sweet smoke a joint, get high. That guy? Yeah. It's like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's good.
This is the end when he's like, you're
I just
hipster?
Couldn't see Jay Baruchel like running an underground militia.
He could, and it would be funny.
Ah, come on, guys. This will be sweet.
This will be funny. This will be good, guys. That would be funny because he's like kind of a dickhead. That's what's funny about it. I like Jay Baruchel.
Oh, that's so funny.
All right. Who'd you cast for Sandra Bullock?
A little beautiful girl named Alicia Vikander.
Did you really?
I don't know if you've seen the movie Man from U.N.C.L.E. I haven't. But she is beautiful.
This makes me think you came up with this while we were filming. Because I feel like she's your default. She's your female default.
I was at the gym this morning and I was like, I know someone that could play this role. I mean, didn't even think
of it. 6 to midnight. Alicia Vikander. Very good, sir.
Thank you. It's the third time I've used her.
I need to go with someone a little more proper. Someone who's very...
Don't you speak ill on Vikander.
I need to go with someone who's very attractive, but like... less sexy than she is attractive.
Jane Seymour from Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
I went with Diane Lane.
Of course you did.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I went with Felicity Huffman.
What?
Yeah.
She's like 80.
Felicity Huffman?
No, she's not.
She's like 32.
No, she's not 32.
She was, I checked.
She's 46.
Did I say the wrong person again?
Probably. You had to have.
Isn't she?
Felicity Huffman is like the Trans America woman that won...
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty positive.
Am I thinking of Felicity Jones?
She's 52.
She's 52. Thank you.
Definitely not Felicity Huffman.
Thank you, Jonathan. Felicity Huffman. Diane Lane.
Felicity Jones is the wife from... Felicity Jones is the wife from The Theory of Everything?
I don't know. I don't know who that... You don't even know who the hell you're talking about.
No, she got... Yes. Felicity Jones. That's who I'm talking about.
32.
What did I say? 32.
By the way, guys, if you want to pick who's got a better recast, you can tweet at us at our page.
For Sandra Bullock, I went with Robert Englund. Robert Englund. He's
the guy that played Freddy Krueger?
No. Maybe I said the wrong name here.
How about Alexandra Daddario?
She's hot.
Wait, who's she?
She's too sexy, though.
Who's she?
I don't know.
Is she on Game of Thrones?
No. She just got cast in the new Baywatch.
Anytime anyone talks about a hot person that I don't know who they are, I just assume they're on Game of Thrones.
Daddario's the super hot chick whose top comes off in True Detective Season 1. She was in San Andreas.
I'll be watching Baywatch.
Yeah. She's very attractive and very pale.
All right, moving on from Felicity Huffman.
Felicity Jones.
Felicity Huffman.
Felicity
was Ben's
Jones
pick
is attractive and perfect for the role.
Wesley Snipes. Who did you cast as Mr. Simon Phoenix?
Mr. Michael B.
Of course,
Jordan.
Yeah, it's easy.
Well, I haven't ever cast him as anything yet.
I've only used him like once, I think.
I think he's coming in his own, and he's jacked now. Mm-hmm. He's huge now.
I have a better one, though.
He trained for Creed with Snipes' martial arts guy that he used on Blade.
That's great.
So now he's got the moves.
So I was watching... I've seen Ant-Man. That's not... mine's better. Like, that's good. Everyone would use Michael B. Jordan.
Look, I thought about Michael Pena as well, but...
you know, security guard and observe and report. No, Anthony Mackie.
See, I thought about it, but it's too easy.
You think that's easier than Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah, it's too easy.
Creed came out last week.
Yeah, but Anthony Mackie's been in action movies now.
Exactly, that's the point. And he fights like Wesley Snipes does.
So is Michael B. He was in the Human
Torch. But he doesn't fight like that. He's a boxer, and I didn't see Fantastic Four, so I could be completely talking out of my ass. But Anthony Mackie, you see in the Civil War trailer, he's got the moves, man.
Okay.
He's got the touch.
He's got the touch. Okay, Drew, who did you cast for Sly Stallone? I am so proud of mine.
I really am really proud of mine, too, and I'm interested to see what yours is, because the whole time I was watching this movie, and like the delivery of the lines and the comedy along with an action superstar, it's Chris Pratt.
He's
the best at this role. He's the best at being funny and still being a badass.
Yep.
But in this movie, you never get like the Rambo badass out of Stallone.
So what I went with was I thought about Pratt, and I thought... Uh-huh. I didn't think about Pratt.
But, I know you didn't.
But younger like that, like the early 30s role... Yeah. I went a little older because Stallone's pretty grizzled. He looks older. He looks like one of his 40s.
He's been
movie.
Frozen for 70 years. 40-something.
Wrongfully accused. So I went. So what's the line when his shirt's tattered? My favorite line.
Oh, it's so good.
And she's like, oh, you're in shambles. And he says, she's like, you're in shambles. And he's like, nothing. A little needle and thread could
do. Oh, God.
I'm telling you, if you remade the movie as a comedy now, Cruise would be perfect as Demolition Man.
You guys can just go ahead and hashtag MasteryCaster and put my name after it, because Cruise has no business in this movie.
Would be perfect.
Michael B. Jordan would snap him in half.
No.
Yes.
Have you seen Cruise?
I have.
Recently?
Have you seen all 5/6 of Tom Cruise?
Look, I'm just telling you, I think Cruise... No?
No.
Steven disagrees.
No.
He's completely unamused.
Cruise goes with the flow too much. He's not, like, rigid enough to be put in these situations and make it still funny.
Right.
Sly is like... You're like, oh my god, this is a big, tough guy. I can imagine Tom Cruise knitting. I imagine Tom Cruise does knit.
Well, let me
Sly knitting is different. You're like,
absolutely.
Give me a second to explain, because genuinely, I think, as I said, this is the best comedy Stallone ever made. And I don't think this movie was intended to be anywhere near as much of an action movie as it was. It was supposed to be kind of a parody.
It's called Demolition Man.
And Cruise, as we saw, made a great action movie parody last year. Maybe one of the best movies we've ever done on the show, at Edge of Tomorrow. A fantastic movie. So we've seen Cruise put himself in a weird situation where he's unfamiliar and make it hilarious by being...
See my face?
Tom Cruise.
Do you see my face?
I see it. I see your face.
I'm not impressed with the Tom Cruise pick.
I think it's pretty good.
I'm going to throw you guys a curveball here.
Okay, curveball.
Curveball. I've been drinking since 5.
All right. Stallone, Wesley Snipes, double recast for those two, gender bent. Who would you choose?
Double recast for those two, gender bent. I would probably have to go... I think I'd have to go Rousey for Stallone.
For Stallone. She's pretty gruff. Yeah, I think
I'd go Michonne
from Walking Dead.
The female that plays Michonne from Walking Dead. I wish I could remember her name right now.
And we have to, so racially, we're doing the same thing?
I just did it just because.
Okay. Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want, man.
She's played by Danai Gurira.
Right, right.
Genderbend, yeah, and I think Rousey definitely is the first thing that comes to mind just because he's so jacked.
Yeah.
So it's like you need a chick who's like really yoked, and like that. There's not a lot of them who are like smoking jacked like that.
Smoking jacked.
I just made that up.
New flavor of beef jerky.
Yeah, and then for the chick who would be like the crazy bad chick, I'm going to go Alicia Vikander. I don't know. That's a hard question. I don't want to be put on the spot.
It wasn't hard for me, so. Yeah.
You went first, so way to go. Anyway, Tom Cruise is awesome. What's your favorite line?
I want to do your favorite line because of it.
My favorite line is the one I just said as Cruise, but it's when she's like, you're in shambles. He's like, another little thread couldn't fix.
And he like, look at it. He's like, what did I just say?
What did I just say that? Because he's learned how to knit while he's been cryogenically frozen. It's in his rehab program, and he knits her a sweater. This would be so funny.
I would like you to accompany me to Taco Bell.
That's your favorite line?
That's one of them. It's so good. The other one, I mean, there's another one. I think my absolute favorite is, you're going to regret this for the rest of your life. Both seconds of it. And then they fight for like 2 minutes. Right, it's like 30
seconds.
I also like
Snipes Olé.
Yeah, very good. Funny. And then also, he doesn't know how to use the seashells. He's such a fuck. It's the worst.
That's funny. And then I also really like when she's like, this kind of proximity and violence, and she's like, do you want to have sex? Yeah. That whole scene's really funny.
Do you want to have intercourse with me?
I also like earlier when she's like, this is how males, this is how, what did she say? She's like,
machismo, like over confident something.
Yeah, like sexually something, whatever.
Males acted.
Related to each other. Yeah. I thought that was a funny line. It's
very good.
It's very smart. It's clever.
It actually is.
So I think
it's pretty, seven people writing it.
I think it's pretty clear. We've already done Cage versus Cruz. I don't think we have to do that one.
Don't know why I was on the show this
week. And which of the three categories does this movie fit into? There's three action movie categories, guys. There's totally ridiculous, which is like Face Off or Con Air. There's totally legitimate, which is like Die Hard or Terminator 2, The Fugitive. And lastly, there is ridiculously legitimate, which is the middle category. That's where ridiculous meets awesome. It's very compelling. It has a great performance, but is still kind of campy. So it's like almost amazing and almost perfect, but still sort of silly.
Right.
I would have thought this movie was totally ridiculous.
I'm going to go with mine first, and I'm going to say it's totally ridiculous because it sounds like you changed your mind. This movie's totally ridiculous in every way, shape, and form. Changed my mind.
I went ridiculously legitimate.
I knew you would, because there's no way it's totally legit.
No. Well, I thought for a second about being really clever, but it's too silly. The reason that I put... Oh, other favorite line? You destroyed, like, a whole city block and spent $2 million in property damage just to save a little girl? She's like, fuck you!
Yeah,
he's like, so good one, kid. Camera. Yeah, that's really funny. No, so I went with ridiculous legit because I was thinking it's the same argument that we had
with Predator
against Predator and for Die Hard.
Yeah.
In a lot of this movie, you laugh when you're supposed to laugh. It's really silly at times, but the vast majority of the humor is supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
It's really mostly just Snipes is the only thing that you're laughing at unintentionally, but the vast majority of this movie is intentionally funny.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a good argument. It really is.
Because it's a parody of an action movie.
But I still, for me, it's just too silly. It's too goofy.
He and Schwarzenegger both did one in the same year. Schwarzenegger did Last Action Hero, which is also a parody of an action movie, the same year. Both of them were kind of failures, kind of flops.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we also didn't talk about the fact that Jesse Ventura's in this movie for a second.
Yeah, just a minute. He
has a whole fight scene they cut out.
Really?
Yeah.
With
Stallone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just see him for a second.
That's too bad. I love him.
Of course. He's got that line from Predator that I'm too scared to say on air.
Do not say it.
Yeah. All right, guys. That's what we think. So let us know what you think if you disagree with the categories. Lastly, we have something called
The Pitch. And I'm going to jump in and I'm going to just kind of do something a little different
today.
Don't
do it to me.
I'm not going to do it to you. I'm not. What I'm going to do to you, though, is Ben and I are still in a little bit of a debate on what we should do next week on the show. Ben is... Okay, so let me rewind a little bit. We try to calm your ass
throw
down.
I've already emailed Val Kilmer's people.
We'll bring them up from a group with it. We do the thing called the pitch, and the way that we usually pick the movie, calm down. The way that we usually pick the movie is we try to do something that's either topically related and with what's going on in the news or anything with actors, movies
or just
coming
something
out.
We love that's better than Kill Bill.
Exactly. What? No. What we're doing is that next week, or within the next couple of weeks, we have The Hateful Eight coming out. And
on Christmas
Day. On Christmas. And so Ben really wants to do Tombstone. It's got the same feel to it. It's a great action movie classic, and I'll let you talk about that a little bit more. That's the point. I think, and it's because of Kurt Russell, I think that we should do Kill Bill because of Quentin Tarantino. And it's a great action movie, and I think it really fits our show. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a vote up on our Twitter like we always do, once a week, with whatever. We're going to do Tombstone or Kill Bill. You can tweet at us whatever you guys want. And I want to hear your pitch for why we should do Tombstone and not Kill Bill.
Are you going to pitch Kill Bill after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, don't tell me why we shouldn't do Kill Bill. Just tell me why we should do Tombstone.
Okay. Tombstone is one of the forgotten classics
of the
1990s.
I'm going to cut you off
right now. One of the forgotten classics of the 1990s. It is... arguably Val Kilmer's greatest performance as Doc Holliday. He's fantastic. He's so good. Like, one of the most memorable roles that I've ever watched, one of my favorite actors in. It's a timeless movie. It's a better Western than Wyatt Earp, which was made the same year with Costner, but is just not that good. Tombstone is the perfect combination of campy and exciting. It's got Kurt Russell with a sweet mustache. This movie has more awesome one-liners than I would say almost any action movie from the 90s I can think of. Better than most Schwarzenegger or Stallone movies. Almost everything that Val Kilmer says in the movie is quotable. Literally almost everything that Kurt Russell says in the movie is quotable.
You're not wearing a bustle.
Yeah. It's got Michael Biehn in it, who plays Commander Anderson in The Rock, and also John Connor. It's got, what's his name, who plays...
I don't know. I don't want to do the movie.
Anyway, the movie is fantastic. I love it to death. Like, I think we would have more fun doing that movie than many that I can think of. That's why we should do Tombstone, and that is why you guys should watch Tombstone. Russell has a similar mustache to the one that he has in Hateful Eight.
It's true. It's true. It's a very awesome mustache.
Yeah.
The mustache is honestly what would win it for me over anything else.
Did I almost just sell you?
No, not at all. Okay. Kill Bill. It's Kill Bill. It's one of the greatest action movies that have come out in our lives. Absolutely, in our lifetimes, of this generation. Plus, we haven't done one with a strong female lead in a long time, and Uma Thurman is a complete badass in the movie. The shots in the movie, the action in this movie, is some of the best I've ever seen. The sword fighting is incredible, the acting, everything, and it is Tarantino. And I understand that Quentin Tarantino is very, very aware of himself and what he does, but I think that the way that he does it in this movie kind of plays into the types of movies that we like to do. It's almost got that 90s feel with the jokes and, you know, the things that are in it. So, they're both great movies. Either way, we're going to be happy. I'll probably be happier than Ben if I end up doing Tombstone. He's really against Kill Bill. I don't know why. It's a very good movie.
I just don't like it.
It's a good movie. Yeah. You've probably only seen it once, huh?
No. I've seen Kill Bill several times.
All right. He's only seen it once. Vote. We're gonna put up a vote. We want to know what you guys think. Tweet at us. Let us know. We will end up doing one of those two movies. And very excited either way.
Absolutely. That is it for the show today. Thank you guys for watching Action Movie Anatomy. This was a very fun episode. I'm really enjoying the two-man shows recently.
Me too. I hope you guys are as well, because we love them. They're a lot of fun.
There's a lot of space.
Two and a half. Steven's two and a half man show. Steven's the man that made this show happen. Yeah. So he's always kind of there.
He's always watching. That's right. Always watching.
He's our own personal Santa Claus. I'm a candy cane. Look at me. We need to go.
Very
we
gotta good,
go
Drew. On that. Drew, if the people want to find you, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Andrew Guy on Twitter.
You guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media. And if you guys want to follow the Twitter, which please do, we are trying to get more Twitter followers. It helps us book sweet guests for you guys.
Absolutely.
At AMA Podcast. And just if you want to know what our producer does, producing all the sweet shows that he does, Stephen, where can the people find you?
Hey guys, you can follow me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, or just tweet at the Popcorn Talk, because I will be looking at that Twitter. If you have any ideas for shows or comments or questions, just tweet at me at Stephen Lemieux, and I'll answer to the best of my abilities.
Yeah, that question we asked earlier about, I mean, if you think it's awesome, tweet him as well, because he would be the person listening also.
He is the man in charge.
Don't just suck up to these guys. Let me know what you really think of the show.
Yeah, 100%. Guys, thank you so much for checking in. We will see you next week.
Olé!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.